Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Yat Shalom. We're now Masachet Bechorot Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, about to start our study of the seventh parak. Mumin Elu Ben Kfuin Ben Ovrim. Now this parak is going to focus on Mumei Kohen. When a Kohen has a Mum and is therefore unfit for Avodah, we will find that there are really three categories of problems for the Kohen, but we'll let the Gemara breathe that out at its point. In the meantime, Mumin Elu is a reference to all the Mumin that we saw in the previous parak. Bein Kfuin Bein Ovrim, whether they're Mum Kavua or whether they're temporary, Poslin Ba'adam, they invalidate a man from doing Avodah. V'yater Alehan, we're going to add to them, Akilon Valiftan Vakavan, different shaped heads, we'll see what that is in the Gemara. Shorshor Shakut Uskifat, also. Uvalei Chatarot, which seems to be something like a hunchback. Havir Machshir Chacham Poslim, and there you have a Machloket, and we'll see why. Hakereach Pasul, a bald Kohen is Pasul. But Ezo Kereach, what's the definition? Kol Shein Lo Shita Shel Se'ar Mokevin Eos and Lozen. If he does not have a row of hair that goes from ear to ear, meaning all across the forehead, the top of the head, Yesh Lo Hareza Kasher. If he has it, then he's Kasher. And we will see some specifics about that in the Gemara as well. The Gemara immediately asks, Amai, Va'ika Yabela to Loktiv Ba'arayt Ba'adam. Why are you telling me that all of the Mumim listed for an animal apply to an Adam? The Torah lists Yabelet in the context of an animal, doesn't mention it Ba'adam. The two, and flip it, Dak and Tvalu, Deloktivi B'Behema, the Dak and Tvalu, which are the stains and bleeds in the eye, that are only written about man, why are you listed in the previous parak? They're only written about man, not about Behema. So the answer is, as to be expected, Me'alef Yalfim Yadadi, that we have a combined set. Titania, Ba'adam, Lo Nemar Bo Yabelet, Behema, Lo Nemar Dak Tvalu, so the Mishnah, the writer points out exactly what we said. How do I know to mix and match them? Two of the Mumim are mentioned in both cases, both of them skin lesions, Garav and Yalefet. The Xerashava, and that connects them by Xerashava. And now our comment is Mafni. That phrase, the word Garav and the word Yalefet must be extra in at least one place, and therefore called Mufne, and therefore push the Xerashava. Why? Because you could have challenged the Gzeirah Shavah, and that's the rule of Gzeirah Shavah. If it's not Mufneh, if the words are not superfluous in their location, then the Gzeirah Shavah may be incidental, and it can be challenged with a dissimilarity. And what's the dissimilarity? Adam Be'malu Yalif, you can't learn Adam from Be'mah, because after all, the animal itself is going to Mizbeach, so maybe the threshold of pristine purity is higher. Be'mami Adam lo Yalfa, you can't learn Be'mami Adam, Shkein Rabbe Mitzvot. People have lots of Mitzvot, Be'ma don't. So therefore, it must be that Garav and Yalefet are extra. Lie, indeed, Rafli Mufni, they really are, and let's prove it. The Torah did not have to write both the Yalefet and Garav, because Yalefet is a lighter lesion on top of the skin, and Garav goes deep. It's not so disgusting. Havimum, it's still a mum. Garav demai, still kosher gain. So garav, which is more disgusting, certainly is a mum. So garav, garav, the chadar chan alamu. So why did the Torah write garav in both places? In one beima and one adam. Lafruye, take the mufneh. All right, very good. We've settled that. But now our question is, if Tavinu Achmona Kulu Gachad, why doesn't the Torah just write all the mumim in one place, either adam or behema? In both places to connect the two. That's why distribute the mumim among both Adam and Behemah, and learn them all from one, either, right? So the question is, hey, which one would you write it? Where do you want the Torah to write it? If the Torah wrote it about Adam, then I would just have the list of people, mumim. I'd apply it to animals, and kalut v'chutin deleitanu ba'adam, so therefore I would not have kalut, which is the cloven hooves, they don't apply to people, and chutin, which is those unique kind of animal gums, because they don't have teeth covering them like people do, and we talked about the chutin, achitzonim, apnimim, etc. Then, I would think that they don't invalidate it, because I'd be using adam as the sole model. They must flip it. Why doesn't all write about Behema? The answer is may not the same problem. Call the Pasul Behema, Pasul Adam. Gibain v'charum. Gibain likely has something to do with eyebrows, and we'll see that later on. And charum, which is the flattened nose. Both these we'll see in our parak. Deleitanu b'Behema, b'Adam namu l'olifsulu. So those don't apply to a Behema, therefore, they can't be written about a Behema, therefore it wouldn't apply to Adam. So therefore I need them written in both. So why doesn't the Torah just write them all in one place? So why didn't the Torah just write one, in one of the places the common list, and then write what isn't normally what doesn't apply to behemah? Write it only by Adam, and vice versa. Write Garvin Yalef in both places to create the Gzera Shava, and learn from each other. Ella, the answer to this, all this is Ketan Rabbi Shmuel, Tan Rabbi Shmuel, Koashash and Rabbi Nishnet, Nishnet, and Rabbi Shvil, the Rosh Nechadesh. General rule of the house of Rabbi Shmuel to retreat the Torah like a quote unquote normal document. Turns of the phrase, extra phrasing are there to teach you the new thing that's there. And in this case, the new thing that's there is the unique mumim in each. I'm a Rava. Now, Rava asked the following question, kind of summing up the whole issue. The Torah talks about mumim in three contexts. Kohanim, Kodshim, both in Vayikra, and Bechor in Dvarim. Why all three? The answer is Tzricha, we need all three. If the Torah only wrote the Parshan Emor about mumim ba'adam, Shekein Rav Mitzvot, I would say, sure, he has to be perfect, because he's got a lot of mitzvot. So, Adam b'chor behema loati, so I couldn't learn Adam from b'chor behema. Shkenu atzvo karmi mizbeach, because the b'chor behema goes on the mizbeach. Kodshim b'chor loati, I couldn't learn kodshim b'chor behema. Shkenu kudushato mirechem, because when it comes to kodshim, I'd say yeah, it also goes on the mizbeach, but it is not born kodosh, and therefore, if there's a demand for unblemished character of the b'chor behema, then certainly I can't apply that to kodshim, which are designated. Adami kodshim loati, shkein hein atzman krivin. Again, I can't learn Adam from kodshim. Anytime I try to learn Adam from an animal, I'm going to have the claim that shkein atzman krivin. B'chor mi kodshim loati, I can't learn b'chor from kodshim, why shkein kudushato merubah? Because kodshim has a much wider net. Olash, tamim, todah, pesach, male, female, older, younger, pashut, and b'chor. And so therefore, no single one of them could have given me any of the other two, and certainly not the both of the two. Chad mechad loatia. So that's what that says. Teiti chad mitarti. So why don't I have two and learn the third from the two? And the question here always is, okay, which one would you erase? Mehei teiti. Lo lichto rachmana bebuchor. You want to take bechor out of teiti mihanach from kodshim and from Adam. Hanach shekin gushatam merubat. I'll give him shutim. Adam and kodshim apply to lots of different things and lots of different people, and they don't have to only be bechor. So leave kodshim out. And a coin and a bechor are born that way. And kodshim and bechor both go on the mizbeach, and therefore I could not apply that to Adam. Tzrichi, therefore I need all three. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Yater alayin ba'adam. Manani mili. How do I know that Adam has these extra things? The things that we're talking about bald, etc., and the weird shaped head. Any man who has a mum mizer aron, meaning isha veb zaro shel aron. Besides the issue of mum, there's also the issue of being shaveb zaro shel aron. You have to look like a normal person. So, what's the practical difference between the two categories of a regular mum and this eno shaveh? The difference is whether or not you violate the avoda and render it unfit, meaning invalid. Muma machal avoda, dichti mumbo lo yichalel. The pasuk says if you have a mum, you're machalel. So if you have a mum, don't do avoda, so you're not machalel. Shenoshav zaro shalom lo michal avoda. If you're just one of these other categories, the weird shaped head, for instance, it's a violation, but you don't mess up the avoda. We will see a couple of occasions in our Mishnah that talk about somebody who's pasul because marita ayin, because it looks wrong. What's in there? The answer is say. There's no mitzvah taseh even in the marita ayin. It's all drabanan. Okay, we said in the Mishnah that there's a kilon. What's that? Dami reisha la'achla. His head looks like a barrel top, kind of flat on the bottom. Lifta, what's that? Dami reisha legad gadila de lifta. His head looks like a turnip, the opposite, sort of the flat on top. And his neck is kind of stout. What's makavan? The dami reisha the makavan. His head is shaped like a hammer, makavan. Shosho shakut, what's that? Milfana means there's something looking like it's missing in front of his head. Skifat is me'achorav. Kedami inchi shakil pisa. A piece has been taken away, a strip has been taken away. That's the aphorism. Tana v'tzavro shakut v'shamut. Also, his neck is shakut or shamut. What's that shakut? The chavya mechva. It's hiding, like the neck is hiding out of a stout neck. Shamut is the arich v'shamut. It's tall and thin. Balechata wrote, we said, Reuda, etc. De'ipe etzem kuli amal apligis. Reuda and Chacham do not disagree. If the person has an extra bone in his back, that's a mum. The disagreement is about whether or not you're pasul if you don't have a bone back there, just extra skin. Chacham say, you look weird. Which is a piece of flesh hanging off and no big deal. Okay, the kereach pasul. The next line, the Mishnah talked about somebody who is bald. Kereach pasul. Amar Rava. So Rava, this is the first version of Rava. This is only if he has no hair in back and only has hair in front. If he has hair in back, kasher, it's valid even without that hairline going all the way across. And certainly if he only has hair in back and not in front, meaning if he has in back and in front, he's okay, and certainly if he only has in back, because that's the normal way that a mature male looks. Some of you will learn it as his comment on the Seifa. We said that the hairline going from ear to ear is kasher. That's only if he has hair in back and not in front. If he has it in both front and back, pasul. Certainly, if he only has it in front. If you have no hair at all, then you're pasul. Some of Yochanan, ganin. He has this statement that he says, kerchin, the bald guys, nanasin, midgets, and zabalganin, we'll say that is, psurin. Because that reason that they don't look normal, if you will. Karchanin, tanina, well, that's already in our Mishnah. Nanasin, Tanina, that's also in the Mishnah. Zablagini story, we needed Zablaganin, which is something with the eyes. I might think that Zbalganin is a problem of Marita Ayin, which means that only the Chatchila, these people with teary eyes, sort of chronically. I might think that it's only a problem of Marita Ayin, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's a real psul of Zara Shel Aaron. But how could he say that after all, every time that there's a consideration of Marita Ayin, the Tana says Mirisha Marita Ayin. For instance, we say now, Pasumne Marita Ayin, if his eyelashes fell out, it's Marita Ayin. So he says it explicitly. So why would he think it's Balganin with Marita Ayin when he didn't say it? The answer is Mauritema Tani Chadwa Din Lachulu. Maybe that's the first time Marita Ayin showed up, and it is Riseinav. Maybe every time after that he doesn't mention it again, and there's some Marita Ayin mixed in. But that's not true. Because at a later point he repeats it and says, Kahadavatani, Shidlushina Pasul Mishum Marita Ayin. Later on in the parak, we'll see if his teeth are gone. Pasul Mishum Marita Ayin. So he mentions Marita Ayin yet again. The answer is Rabbi Yochanan was saying, making a statement to oppose the following. The Tanya, Kachanim Asin of Alganin Ksherim. All three of them are Kasher. There's a Tana who thinks all three of them are kasher, and they're only invalid Mishum Marita Ayin. So Manai Tana, who is that Tana of Yehuda? The Tana of Yehuda Omer, HaKohanim, Archutah HaKohanim, Rabota Karchanim, even bald Kohanim. So he says bald Kohanim are in, and there's just a Marita Ayin consideration. Okay, the next Mishnah, Enlo Gvinin, or Enlo Gvin Achad. Remember, one of the Mumim that the Torah talks about is Gibain. So what's a Gibain? The first take is, if he has no eyebrows, or has only one. That's what Giben is. We also marry the opposite. He has thick eyebrows that lay over and cover his eyes. And Antigone also marry has a whole different take. She's still Gabin Ushteshidraot. He has two backs. He plays on the word Gav. Now, how could Giben mean you don't have it? The mention of the movement should mean you have too much of it or it's wrong. Raminu Giben, she's still Gvinin Harbe. The Giben is you have too much, too many eyebrows, too much, too thick. How do we know that if you have none or only one? Tamalomar Ogibain. So Ogibain gives us the opposite of that. Marava Zel Midrash Ogibain. He said, you're right. Our Mishnah is the Midrash of Ogibain. Yosemar said, oh, remember Dechaye? Rabbi Dechanin Mantan says it's somebody with two backs. So that guy can't live. Now, Pilate Piriyash, Shnegivin, 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 we have a sugya nida about Mapelet, and if she gives birth and miscarries and has something with two backs, there's no tumat leida, because he says if it's a human birth and it's not a child, then behema, you're not allowed to eat it. Alright, so therefore you see that that kind of thing is not viable. So Kfar Rama Niyaleh Rav Shimba Chayel Rav, the answer is Rav Shimi already brought this to Rav's attention. Rav Shimiat, He said to him, why are you challenging this way? You know that it means not that he really has two backs, but that his back is crooked, so it looks like two backs. Okay. Hacharum post pasul. We already mentioned the charum, the guy with the flat nose. Ezo charum, hakochel shtei nav kiachat. One opinion, we'll see that this Rabbi Yossi says if you can color both eyes at once, meaning the nose isn't in the way at all. Shtei nav lamala, shtei nav lamata, inal achat lamala, achat inal achat lamata. So for right now, we'll just read this straight up. The Gemara will deal with what this means. If both eyes are up or both eyes are down, or one's up and one's down, you could see an upstairs and a downstairs at one shot. Sakei shemesh or sakei shemesh, people who can squint into the sun. V'ha'azagdan v'atziran. Shnashuri say now, we're going to see what those are. Shnashuri say now, it's possible to marry time, that's if the eyelashes are out. Zagdan and siran, we'll see. Now, Tana Rabban Harum. Again, we're going to look at the word shechotmo shakua. His nose is sunk deep. Chotmo soleid, chotmei bolem, chotmei notef minayin. What if his nose is bulbous? What if his nose is dripping a lot? Amalomar o charum. Again, the word o, as in every case, extends it beyond the simple meaning. So me'ein charum ela kochel shtei nav kachat. That's Rabbi Yossi is the opinion in our Mishnah that charum only means that you're able to color both eyes at once. The nose not in the way. Amrulo he flogged up. So they said to him, you've gone too far with this statement. The halacha is that even if you cannot both eyes at once, then it still is charum. Okay, shtei nav lamala, shtei nav mata, shtei nav lamala, shtei nav lamata. What does that mean? Ilem shtei nav lamala, dechazi lamala, shtei nav lamata, dechazi lamata. So if you think up and down in that part of the Mishnah means that you can look up, your eyes typically look up or look down, and therefore, inoachat lamala, inoachat lamata, that next clause is, hazai inoachat lamata, inoachat lamala, one eye looks up while the other looks down, that's the next clause that says you could see the room and the upstairs at one shot. So that can't be what I mean. Elishtei nav lamala, de kaiman lamata, shtei nav lamata, kaiman lamata, inoachat lamala, achat lamata, kaiman achat, inoachat lamala, inoachat lamata, it means that's where the eyes are. To the two eyes are placed higher on the four on the face or lower on the face than normal, or one's up and one's down. The kaimi kasidu, and even if they're in proper order in the proper place, dami v'atachem v'taliyah kachad. If you your eyes typically one eye goes up and one eye goes down, so that you see up and down at the same time. Menahanimili. Now, how do we know that these eye problems are amum or is eno shaveh? Tanarbanan be'eno daku tvalul be'eno, and the word be'eno is extra. So now, because it's dakut valul only in the eye. So, kol mashveino, any problem in the eye is a mum. Ikanam ushtein alat shtein al mashal, and achal amala vechal amata, vore tachere vetaliyak echat. Oh, it's a parallel to that. You're talking to one guy, and another guy said he's looking right at me. So, in other words, again, your peripheral vision takes over. Those are all under the rubric of ebeino. Tanabanan, iver, the Torah talks about a blind man as a mum. Even if it's only blind in one eye. Chavarvar, how do I know to extend it to those white drops or chronic tearing? Tamlomar ish iver. The word ish is extra. Ish and iver and dak and tfalul and beno. Why do I need all five terms written about these mumim? Srichi. Why? Iver for the Torah just said blind, because you don't have any eyes at all. But in those cases, you have eyes that just aren't functioning because of the junk inside of them. Look, therefore the Torah extended ishiver. Because you can't see at all. If something's missing so that your sight is blunted, look, I would think that's okay. Therefore the Torah said dak, which there's a stain there and prevents you from seeing perfectly. So then I would think, well, you're not seeing perfectly, so it's a mum. Aval, mivalita, when it's mixed up together, lo, that I would think is not a problem, because you can see fine. Kadavachana tfalul, therefore the Torah wrote about this mixed up eye. Kadavachana tfalul, mishum mivalbalan. That I would understand, because the eye itself is mixed up. A mishum mishanayuta, but if the eyes are just placed in a weird place, up, down, etc., lo, Rachamra beino, therefore the Torah said beino. So Rava then puts it all together and says, I'm a Rava. Hilkach kol machmat keayuta, if it's because you can't see, or your sight is obstructed, atimi ish. Mach suryata, if you have regular sight, but there's deficiencies in it, that's from Dak. Vlalita, if it's just that your eyes look confused, mitvalul. And mishnayuta, if it's really your eyes are just in a weird place, mi be'eino. So those are the categories under which these different possible mumim would fall. Okay, the Mishnah talked about sachei shemesh. Atan Rav Yosef, sanei shemesh. His version was not sachei shemesh, but rather sanei shemesh, meaning people who hate the sun. So that whenever the sun is out and they try to look at it, they look away. Looks like they hate it. Their eyes are simply too sensitive to the sun. Zagdion, what's that? Machrav Huna. So he said, Chad mi didan v'chad mi didhu. And he pointed to Rav Yehuda. And he said, having a normal eye in one of those eyes. Vikpa Rav Yehuda, he was upset. Rav Yehuda was clearly upset, being pointed out as an example of a weird eye. Meitave, watch this challenge. Shachavna, what's a shachavna? Shekvinav shochvim, that your eyebrows lying on top of the eyes. Zagdom, what's that? Echad shachov, echad lavan. You have one white eye, one left, one gray, one black eye. And here you said that it's the eyes that are, one's normal, one's weird. The answer is Tana kol zuga delo shavi ladani zagdom karele. What's a zagdom? A mismatched pair. So it could be two different colors, and it could be that, they're different sizes or something. Now, ha tziran, what's that? What's a tziran? Enav trutot v'tziraniot. His eyes are kind of wide and round. Tomoto fotordot, and always tearing. Tana zadir v'alufin v'atamir. We have three more. But what are they? Zadir or zavir is demazur ene. His eyes are kind of strange looking all around. Lufin, what's that? The nefishin zifin has a lot of bristles. Tamir shetamu zifin. The opposite has no bristles in his eye. Finally, got a mumin tani lahu. But why? But these should be mentioned regarding mumim. And now Joshua is saying, "Now pasum nemerita ayin." Why are you mentioning these in the context of mumim? After all, we said if the eyelashes come out, then that's just marita ayin. Sorry for the pun. So why is it being mentioned here as a mumim that would really be a violation? If there's any stems left, then it's simply marita ayin. If it's not, then it's really eino shavavish bizaro shel aharon. We will stop at this point and pick it up with the next Mishnah in Inav Gdolot. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.